Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. If you live the life you please. Well, it's all right.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And it's great to be here again for another week of all things dog. Another day, anyway. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm good. You're looking pretty good today, Eric.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, very dapper.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, gosh, so much to talk about today. I'm going to talk later in the show about what I started talking about last week. I wanted to talk about last week I was talking about dog collars and leashes, and there's so many different ones. And this week I want to make sure that I specifically talk about my feelings and thoughts on head collars, like the halter type head collars that go around the dog's muzzle and back of the neck, versus training collars, choke chains and prong collars and all those types of things. So I'm going to talk about those a little later, but first there's a lot of events to announce. And first thing is that we are getting very close to the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show, which is March 13th and 14th at Quest Field Event Center. And I've been talking about this for several weeks now because it's so much fun. It's one of my favorite events all year long. And we had a booth, the Dog Talk Show had a booth at it last year, which was just after we started the show. It was just weeks after we started the show, so we were brand new.
We were just a pup.
Yes, we were just a pup. Now we're adolescents.
That's right.
We're just over a year old now.
Of course, so we've been doing this show for 7 years in dog years.
Though. That's right. That's right. I'm an expert now in radio anyway. So we're going to have a booth there, and you know, for any listeners who are going to be there, please be sure to come by and introduce yourselves. I'd love to meet you. Probably going to have something that we're giving away at the booth, like a raffle or something like that. And we are going to have Lainey Poiret from Natural Pet Pantry is going to be at our booth all weekend long as well, giving out free pounds of Natural Pet Pantry food, which is raw, frozen meat and vegetables all ground up. It's excellent food. They're one of the show sponsors, and she's going to be giving away one-pound packages of that, which is a great, great giveaway. So we'll be throwing those around all weekend long, and they're also going to have
And that makes good sense to me.
Yes.
Some giveaways don't make sense to me. There's a, for instance, a tire chain that likes to give away beef.
Eric.
And every time I see the signs for that or the commercials, I go, what does beef have to do with tires?
No.
But see, in this case, it's like the Dog Talk Show, healthy dog food.
Yes.
Synergy.
Yes.
You know, it comes together. It's like chocolate and peanut butter.
Right.
You know, two great tastes that go great together.
Yeah.
Beef and tires, I just don't get it.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think I wrote something about that on Facebook or something. It was socially, not professionally, but it was just like, that just doesn't sound good to me.
No,
I don't want
it doesn't.
I don't want beef from a tire company.
Right, right.
It's, you know.
Well, when you walk in and you smell the tire fumes too, you don't initially think,
and where is this beef?
Time for a steak.
Where is this beef coming from? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's
if it was roadkill, it would make sense. You see, our tires were directly involved with bringing you this delicious roadkill.
Yes.
But it's not. So, anyway.
Well, some grocery store pet food companies, it might make sense for them to give away roadkill.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is an unrelated tangent, but you tied it back in.
I sure did, Eric.
Synergy.
Unfortunately, I did tie it back into pet food. It's true. It's not a myth. The worst of the worst. If they get meat from a rendering plant, it can be a percentage of roadkill and euthanized pets.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It just came full circle, Eric. So anyway.
Which is just a good warning so that we can avoid those.
Indeed. Oh, yes.
Pet
we've talked quite a bit about food. We're actually going to have Lainey on the show the end of March to talk about all things pet nutrition and specifically cancer. Nutrition and cancer in pets, which will be very interesting. She's a wealth of knowledge, so I look forward to talking with her in about a month. So next week, we're going to be talking to Jane Anderson, who's the chairperson of the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show, talking about the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show, which will be that following weekend. So we'll look forward to talking to her. And if you want to get some information about the show and about Seattle Kennel Club, you can visit their website, which is seattlekennelclub.org. And they have all sorts of information about the show. It goes on, I think it starts at 8 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. The showing actually starts very early. And they have a list of all the different breeds and when they're being shown. So if you want to go to see your favorite breed, you can actually look up and see when those breed groups are being shown so that you can catch specific breeds. Otherwise, it's just a great event if you're not there to see a particular breed perform. There's agility going on the whole time, pretty much, obedience and rally trials, and then also lots of great demonstrations like herding and dog dancing they usually have, which is very amusing.
Now, is that ballroom dancing or is it freestyle when it comes to the dog dancing?
It's freestyle.
Okay.
It's actually called freestyle, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
Or dog dancing.
Now, is that assisted or they just get up and dance by themselves? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Do they have a human partner with that?
Break it down, lead? Fluffy. Go.
Right. Well,
go, Fluffy.
If it's break dancing, right, that would be freestyle, but it.
No, it's with their.
Their
owner,
to lead them. Okay, as their partner.
Both usually have...
I used to dance with my dog. This is why I ask. And he just, generally, we did the box step. He was good at that.
Yeah.
Anything a little more complicated,
Yeah. Well, they could
tried to dip him.
They could have a dog version of Dancing with the Stars.
That would be a great show. I would watch
a great
that.
Show.
Now, every routine should never last more than, I would say, a minute. But
no. Well, it is freestyle, and it's usually a series of turns and dogs weaving through the legs. And and both owner and dog are usually wearing some sort of sequin costume. It's very entertaining.
When is this going to be in the Winter Olympics? Come on, people.
I know it.
Let's make it happen.
Well... It's a great show. So we'll be talking to Jane Anderson next week, all about the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show, and so I look forward to that. And we'll try to get some tickets, perhaps, from them to give away to listeners. I'll work on that for you guys. There is a dog massage event as well happening in, I think it's late March. It is. March 28th, Sunday, March 28th. Bring your best friend in for a free mini massage and consultation. Find out how massage can help your dog feel his or her best. Sunday, March 28th from 10 a.m. to noon, and it's at Pet Elements, which is in West Seattle on California Avenue, sort of South California Avenue, south of the junctions, 6701 California Avenue, Pet Elements. And there's going to be raffle prizes for longer dog or cat massages, toys, and dog food. And that is put the massage part is being put on by Hands to Paws Small Animal Massage. So that is Sunday, March 28th, 10 a.m. to noon at Pet Elements in West Seattle. So that sounds cool. Eric.
Yes.
Big news. The national wiener dog races are coming to Washington State this summer.
You didn't let me get the drum roll out.
Sorry.
But no, that's okay.
Do you want to know what it's called?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I'm waiting for the drum roll.
Well, give me a second. Okay. And what is the name of the National Wiener Dog Champions?
Wiener Fest Northwest.
Yes!
If there was a crowd, it would be going wild. I've just made contact with the person who's organizing this. WienerFestNW is the website, and that's W-I-E-N-E-R, of course. WienerFestNW. And they are in the very early stages of coordinating this. So at this point, they are looking for volunteers. And this is going to be taking place in Elma, Washington, which I'm told is 20 minutes outside of Olympia. So it's hitting our southern Western Washington fans. And
not too far to drive if you want to be part of the Wiener Patrol.
Yeah, and there's, well, they're doing Wiener Dog races. It's to support Almost Home Dachshund Rescue Group. And it's, I'm just thrilled. We're definitely going to be there. And I think we're probably going to stay overnight down there since it's, what, like an hour and a half away or something like that, Olympia?
Well, Olympia is about an hour from Seattle. So
is it?
If Elma is 20 minutes beyond that, then that'll be about an hour 20.
Mm, thanks. I think it might be.
I'm here for, you know, remedial math purposes most times.
I think it might be east of Olympia, so I don't know. But anyway, WienerFest 2010 National Wiener Dog Races. We're definitely going to have a booth there. And I have a very, very fast dachshund, Leia, of course, who.
AKA Greased Lightning.
Yeah. Who is, I think, going to win it all. So we'll see.
Wiener takes all.
Wiener takes all. There is another movie coming out. Oh, I can't remember. One Lucky Dog. It's another documentary about National Wiener Dog Races.
Wow.
But I talked to the woman, and she said that the remember when we were talking about the National or about Wiener Takes All?
Yeah.
The documentary. Mm-hmm. How there was a part
in the movie. The documentary.
Yes, it's the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
How there was a part where there were. At some event, dog event, I think in Ohio,
uh-huh.
Dogs were getting married.
Mm, yeah, I seem to recall this.
And they were interviewing the woman, the minister, I guess, who was conducting these dog marriages. And mm-hmm. then she was saying how she would marry a Rottweiler and a Shih Tzu, but there would be no same-sex dog marriages on her watch.
Yeah, because that would be weird.
That would be weird.
that would be but, beyond the pale.
Next thing you know, dogs
dog
would be marrying cats,
right, right.
And you just
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Well, anyway, one of the dogs in the wedding,
but different breeds are all right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But one of the dogs in the wedding was actually somebody who's associated with this Wiener Fest, or there's some connection there. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can get them on the show. They can talk all about
the film
and the races.
They are definitely Wiener Fest Northwest. We're definitely going to have them on the show.
the crowd is excited about
that. Yeah. Closer to the race, though, because the race isn't happening until, I think it's July 31st and August 1st. So
all right.
We get a ways for that. But I just found out about this. Very exciting.
Plenty of time for anticipation.
Indeed. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be talking about head collars versus training collars. We'll also be taking your questions. If you have any questions about your dog's training behavior or nutrition, you can give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll-free 888-298-5569.
And I got to say, we tried the, me and the Cash, well, I didn't, but the Cash tried the mouse treats this last week. I'll give you a report
All
when
right.
we come back.
Sounds good.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
March 8th, learn the shocking truth behind many malpractice situations and discover how everyday household items could be responsible for your trip to the hospital in the first place.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Bill Burlingame from Quilceta Vet. Dr. Bill is my personal veterinarian, and he's treated more Pluckner cases than anyone other than Dr. Al himself. He also practices a very balanced approach using holistic, natural, and traditional medicine. So plan to call us with your animal medical care questions on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, and an evolved perspective on life with dogs. So we're going to be open to taking your calls. So if you have a question about your dog, really anything. If I don't know the answer, I know someone who does. But especially training, behavior, or food-related, we'd love to take your call and answer your question on air. The number to call is 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So I wanted to talk about in the world of training, there's all of this talk about positive training. People ask me all the time, do you do positive training? Positive dog training. And there's, you know, quite a bit of passionate opinion about head collars versus metal training collars and, why one is better than the other and why for both sides. And I just wanted to give my perspective on this to kind of clarify, because it's been my experience in talking with people and working with people that a lot of dog people who are looking for a trainer don't really know what they're asking for when they say positive trainer. I think that there's this fear out there that there are trainers out there who are abusive and overly harsh. And I think that, that's certainly the case. I don't think that it's a high percentage, but you do need to be careful, when selecting a trainer or behavior specialist to work with your dog, that this is someone who's going to be treating the animal fairly and all that kind of thing. Absolutely. That's something to look out for, and something when you're interviewing a trainer, a potential trainer, to ask them about their methods and their philosophy and their perspective on things. And but I think the word positive training is kind of misunderstood, because there's, like, I would consider myself to be a positive trainer because the dogs need to enjoy the experience. They ultimately, at the end of the training session, you know, I want them to be left with a positive feeling, and I want them to be happy to see me. I don't want them to be afraid of me. I don't want them to be stressed out, you know, when they're working with me outside of any just normal stress from learning. But I do find it very important to use some sort of correction in the context of positive training to communicate to the dogs when they've made a wrong choice. They learn through, you know, consequences, both positive and negative. That's how nature has designed the world, to provide us with positive and negative consequences, and behaviors that result in a positive consequence will continue to happen, and behaviors that are negated with a consequence that somebody wants to avoid or a dog wants to avoid, then they're not going to do that behavior again because they understand it was that behavior that caused it. So I think that there's this belief by a lot of people out there, and it's sort of gotten, I think it's kind of starting to turn the other way, but, you know, 5-10 years ago, it was this really big push for all positive training, no corrections. You know, it's all ignore the behavior that you don't like, just totally ignore it, and then, you know, reinforce the behaviors that you like. And that, in my experience, is just too passive for most dogs. So, you know, all positive training, I don't find to be terribly effective with most dogs out there, because just like with kids, there has to be some level of structure. There has to be some way of communicating in a balanced way, in a fair way, and in a way that the dog is going to understand that they've made a wrong choice as well as when they've made a right choice. It's just natural to me. And it's how dogs communicate with each other. Dogs correct each other. They have a very wonderful range of corrections that they give, and a well-socialized dog will give the appropriate level of correction, just high enough to be effective and nothing more. And, you know, a dog's range of correction is anything from, you know, from the lowest level of a hard stare, tightening of the body, tightening of the mouth, you know, stiffening of the tail, and then, you know, increasing to a low growl, and then maybe showing a little bit of tooth, baring teeth a little bit, and then that can gain an intensity. And then there's, you know, snapping and barking, actually lunging, all the way up to making contact but not hurting. And that's mostly what you see. Actually, rarely when dogs get in conflict with each other does anybody actually leave with a wound. Sometimes dogs will kind of get together and it looks like they're killing each other, but then when they get pulled apart, there's not a mark on either of them. And that's because dogs have really, really amazing control of their jaws and are good at communicating with each other, and then they settle it. So I just wanted to say, and on behalf of people who use corrections, which is how dogs communicate with each other, that the all positive approach, I don't think, is for most dogs the preferred method. You know, maybe for a dog that's trained to be or bred to be like a service dog or something, where they're not going to test boundaries, they're not going to, you know, be really pushy or show any aggression or anything like that, then sure, you can, with that type of dog that has that kind of temperament, you don't maybe necessarily need to use corrections. But that's not the norm. You know, and a lot of people, especially when you start dealing with aggression issues, you can't ignore that. If the dog is doing something, acting aggressive towards you or another dog, you can't just ignore it. You have to address it. I had a client who was telling me about an experience with another trainer previously. She has a young daughter who I think is like 3 or 4 years old, and two very large young golden doodles that were having a hard time learning to not jump and to keep off. And what she was told was to have her daughter stand like a tree, and ignore the dog. And it's like, the kid would be trampled. And, so, you know, it's just too passive. You have to address it. It's okay. It's not abusive to correct. It's just communicating, don't do that. Communicating boundaries. It's animal nature to do that. And as long as you're doing it in a way that's fair, that's not excessive, and in a way that the dog understands, and that you're balancing that with positive reinforcement and showing the dog what you want them to do instead, then you're going to have a successful experience educating your dog, and you're going to be speaking their first language. So I just kind of, I guess I'm annoyed that it's like all positive and no corrections, and, you know, corrections are evil and abusive, and it's just not true. It's how dogs talk to each other. So that's my perspective on it. Now with kind of along that same vein, there's a lot of misunderstanding about all types of training collars, anything from head collars, like a Haltie or Gentle Leader, which is the preferred tool usually for all positive trainers. And then there's training collars that the two most common ones are commonly known as choke chains, which I don't like, and then prong collars, which I do like. My concern with, there's all of them need to be used properly. And so one of the biggest problems I think with all of them is that people will buy them and use it and not use it properly. And especially with some of the, like the head collars, can cause serious neck damage and damage to the muscle and tissue and nerves around the neck if they're used improperly. So I'm going to talk more in depth about those different categories of collars when we come back. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. If you have a question about your dog, dog training, behavior, or nutrition related, feel free to give us a call, 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. To give him strength, all he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get. So I love my dog as much as I love you. But you make a fade, my dog will always come through.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Your home is your castle, but the upkeep. There's always so much to do. You don't want your investment to look run down, but who has time for all the things that need to be done? Regular window washing, gutter and roof cleaning, house cleaning, routine pressure washing. And what about those dryer vents? Lint in dryer vents is a common source of house fires. Ouch! Wouldn't it be nice to have an experienced, established, and respected company take care of those routine tasks for you on a regular basis? Capital Cleaning Services, serving the Seattle area since 1973, is your perfect choice. With years of experience and top ratings on Angie's List, Puget Consumer Checkbook, and the Better Business Bureau, Capital Cleaning Services can reliably and safely help you with your routine home and maintenance tasks. You're in the clear with Capital Cleaning. So call today for a free quote and see how we can help you protect your investment and keep your home looking beautiful all year round. Call 206-782-2494. That's 206-782-2494 for Capital Cleaning Services.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Looking for new ways to find light, love, healing, and balance in your life, your family, and your work? You're not alone. I'm Jeanette Dames, host of The Soul's Edge, Tuesdays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk 1150. And I want to help you bring your life back to life. Listen to nourish your life or call for an angel reading. Join me on The Soul's Edge, Tuesdays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
All the pay I need comes a-shining through his eyes. I don't need no cold water.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM and an evolved perspective on life with dogs here at the Dog Talk Show. So we're talking about head collars and training collars around the neck, and I'm just going to talk more in detail about the different ones and my experience and what I've found in reading what other people have to say about them. We're also here to take your questions if you have a question about your dog, training behavior, food-related or otherwise, perhaps a quirky behavior, you're not sure what it means. Or you have a question about pet food or bones or something like that, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to answer your question on air, 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. You're also welcome to call in if you have any questions or comments regarding what we're talking about in this segment. So I was talking about this all positive training and how people are all kind of hung up on all positive and no corrections and training collars are evil and all this kind of thing. And I don't agree for the most part. I think it is very important to, you know, look for a trainer who is a good fit for you, who you're comfortable with, and who certainly is not abusive. Certainly, I think these two things get collapsed together, and that's where people kind of misunderstand. Corrections are not abusive. They are just communication. And one of my concerns with the halty head collars, gentle leaders, that sort of group of halter-type head collar, is that there's a couple things. One is that it's not really a training tool, it's more of a band-aid for pulling. And you're basically putting these straps that are tight around the base of the skull on the back of the head of the dog and on around the muzzle right beneath the eyes, which are pressure points for dogs. And I just don't see how, you know, I mean, I understand why, because they look different. The halter head collar looks better to us visually than a prong collar. Prong collars look medieval. I mean, they do. They look kind of scary. And so when you see the two of them, you think this one is more humane than this one. But I wish that there was some way that the prong collar could look completely different and still be effective like it is. But a lot of people are kind of having this reaction because it looks scary. I mean, it looks like a medieval torture device, but it's not, is the thing. And they're designed, you know, those prongs are not sharp. There's a company that I recommend, which is Sprenger, S-P-R-E-N-G-E-R. The end of their prongs are totally rounded. And they're not sharp. They're not digging into the neck. They're not breaking the skin. And the idea is that it's a training tool, a way to communicate. So it should be kept loose all the time. So the only time the dog feels it is really just for a momentary correction, which is a quick snap on the leash. And then that engages the dog's brain, and you use that as a tool for education. My problem with the head collars is that it's a constant pressure that I think probably causes some sort of headache or something, where you have this tight strap around the base of the skull, a very important joint in the body, and then also on the upper part of the muzzle right beneath the eyes, which if you think of, you know, that part for us, it's a very sensitive pressure point. And the advocates for this type of collar all acknowledge in their articles online about how to properly use it and all this stuff, is that there is a risk of damaging the dog's neck by using these collars. You know, if the dog pulls or like lunges, you know, sees a squirrel and lunges, or has dog aggression on leash and lunges, or sees a skateboarder or bicyclist or rollerblader who passes by and lunges or whatever, that it's going to yank the neck around to the side and can actually cause damage. So I don't see how that is more humane than a training collar. It's just that it's not metal and it doesn't look like a training collar does. But if you really understand how the two work, I don't see how putting constant pressure on the animal that could potentially cause damage, injury, and a constant discomfort, I don't see that how that is more humane than a prong collar. Other than, you know, I get it. I get why people don't like it, because it looks, it does, it looks medieval. But if you've worked with them, I've worked with, you know, thousands of dogs by now, and you know, occasionally there's a dog that's too sensitive for a prong type collar and you just don't use them on it. But it's about treating each dog as an individual and finding what works best. So I'm really concerned about these dogs that are having to wear these really uncomfortable collars, the head collars, when just, you know, in the name of being more humane, when I don't really think that it is, but they just kind of get away with it because it looks, it's more palatable to people's eyes. And then the other thing is the choke chains I don't like either. And they don't look as bad as the prong collars because it's just a chain. But those actually constrict, they will actually choke. They will continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So, and a lot of dogs will just pull into them. So, and they can be put on backwards, which causes them to not release when the dog stops putting tension on the leash. The collar should automatically release. If it's put on backwards, it can actually stay tight. But if the dog is pulling into it, it'll just continue to constrict, and it actually can make dogs pass out. It can cause nerve damage, muscle damage, tissue damage around the neck. And I just haven't found them really to be that effective. So the thing that I like about the prong collar is that it's an effective training tool, but it also protects the neck. It applies pressure evenly around the neck and only on those points which are not sharp. Something that I've noticed with people, other professionals in the industry, is that people will say right off the bat, you know, oh, well, my dog's having this behavior. And I say, well, you know, what have you tried so far? What do you walk with? What do you walk your dog on? Do you know, what kind of collar do you use and all this? And they'll say, you know, well, I've tried this and this, and you know, and I don't use a prong collar because they're bad. And they say that initially, but then when I say, well, I actually don't think that they are bad. I think that when they're properly used, they can be very effective. Then they kind of say, oh, well, I just really, it's just so important that they're not misused, or, you know, and then, you know, you come to find out that they actually have used prong collars in the past and don't believe that they're bad. But because there's all this kind of pressure from the industry to do all positive and no corrections and prong collars are evil, and like people don't want to feel judged by other people when they're using a prong collar, and people will. I mean, this hasn't happened to me, but I know a lot of people who, you know, have walked their dogs or been walking with their dogs on a prong collar, and other people will stop them and chastise them for using this type of training tool, and that it's, you know, all abusive and evil and all that kind of thing. So I think people are really scared to just say, like, I actually like them. I think that, and here's why, and get really give an educated, grounded response to that. So It's really, really misunderstood. And you know, everybody's out for the same reason. We all want to do what's in the dog's best interest. And I definitely get that. And I acknowledge where people are coming from and that they have good intentions. You know, they're being protective. They're, you know, really not wanting to do something that feels abusive or negative, but that, you know, corrections are okay. And I think really necessary in raising and living with a well-adjusted, balanced dog. That structure and leadership is really important. And one of those main things is boundaries. And you can't communicate boundaries without a correction. Don't do that. It's okay to say that, just like it is for kids. So that's that. You know, I found some really interesting, I was researching this online. There's lots of, you know, opinions on both sides and it's just interesting to kind of to read what different people say and what their experiences are and everybody's concerns, you know, each side's concerns about the other and all that kind of thing. And, you know, ultimately what it comes down to for training is, you know, one, just whatever you're using, make sure that you're using it properly. You know, and if it's working, then, you know, and your dog seems happy and has a good attitude and is comfortable and you're getting results, then it's working. You can't argue with results, you know, in the context of an overall positive experience. So if it works, great. I mean, you know, there's certainly not one right way to train a dog, but there's a lot of ways that I think people have gotten professional help that have not been good suggestions and they're not finding results. And so, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, interview trainers, find a trainer that is a good fit for you, who you're comfortable with, and do some research. Not too much research, because some people can kind of get spun around if they get too much research, because they're really, if they do too much research, because there really are a lot of differing opinions out there. But so that's my two cents about it. And there's a lot of information online about how to properly use any collar. You know, I don't recommend the choke chains. If you're going to use a training collar, I do recommend a prong collar. If you must use a head collar, there is one out there called a canine bridle that attaches a little bit differently than the other ones. It actually has an attachment at the back of the neck rather than down below the muzzle. So it doesn't have that jerking the head to the side. As far as a head collar goes, I like those canine bridles, and they're now actually just recently starting to be available in the U.S. So, look for that one if you really, really must, use a head collar, then that canine bridle is, I think, your best choice. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some dog talk show trivia questions. I'm going to, ask Eric some questions. We're going to find out finally how Eric's cats liked the 100% pure mouse treats that we got for him for our 1-year anniversary show. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Do Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Eric, please tell me, did your cats like the 100% pure mouse treats?
Yes.
They did.
They loved them. They went crazy for the 100% pure mouse treats. And by the way, I just love still like looking at the label where you look on the back, ingredients, mouse. So they really, really liked them. And in fact, they're the only treat so far that they've continued to ask for by name because they're walking around now. Like sometimes they'll just walk up and they'll be like, meows, meows, meows. And I know, okay, they're interested in the mouse treats. And, you know, and they've enjoyed the freeze-dried cod treats that I give them and the venison jerky that I've given them, but they don't ask for those by name. So I know that the mouse treats are right up their alley. So.
Well, oh, that was a good one, right up their alley.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of vocal sounds... little trivia here. Cats have more than 100 vocal sounds.
I believe it. Yeah. My cat Fergal, he's got at least that many.
Mm-hmm. Dogs only have about 10.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, cats certainly more vocal and have more of a range than dogs do.
If only we could get them to use words. That would be great.
That would be trouble. I've always liked that. Oh, I shouldn't even say it. Because it's such a bad food.
Oh, the song for the with the meow in it.
Yes,
for the cat food with the meow. Yeah, yeah. It's a great jingle.
That's how they get you, though. They have cute commercials, and then they sell you food that just is not good. Anyway,
oddly enough, they actually made a cat food with that same brand. The Meow brand, was actually really good. It was, I think it's called Wholesome Goodness. And for once, that it actually lived up to its name. So, because it was all good ingredients. So,
really?
Yeah, and my cats went crazy for that as well. They also asked for that by name. So, yeah. But again, but that's a lot more expensive, and it comes in little pouches or little containers. Or it's not the kibble that they make, because I've checked out the kibble, and it's not so good. So,
well, here's my thing about pet food. One thing, one of many, is if it's made by a company that makes food that is terrible.
Yeah.
Then. I don't trust the food that they say is the wholesome goodness or...
That's a good point.
Whatever.
That is a valid point. I probably wouldn't have got it, but it was on a really good sale.
Yeah. And they with their very smart marketing, you know, I'm just trying to look this up here so that I can actually see what is in them. But anyway, that's how they get you, Eric. I'm going to put together.
They got me.
They did.
But
well, I'll
it's
check
not something
that out.
I buy on a regular basis. But.
Well, I want to check it out because you know, it sounds like you looked at the ingredients and stuff. But
yeah, I think that's very important. You know, you just like when you're buying food for yourself, you need to look at those ingredients and see, you know, what's in there that you're giving your animal friends. You know, you don't want to be giving them, you know, rendered animals. You don't want to be giving them, you know, just a bunch of corn.
Yes. So absolutely. You know, the tricky thing is that the labeling laws, they're very misleading. So even if you're looking, even if you're being really mindful and intentional about the food and reading the ingredient list and all that kind of thing, there's a lot of stuff that they put on there that's like, well, I don't even know what that is. Like animal digest.
Right. What is animal digest?
Well, it's a byproduct.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like, could be like blood or,
right.
You know, so... Ooh. And, you know, like meat and bone meal. Like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't sound bad.
Right.
But they don't specify what kind of meat for a reason.
Yeah. I'll never buy anything that just says meat.
You pretty much don't want to buy any pet food that's marketed as pet food at a grocery store.
Hmm.
Ever. It's all garbage. And I'd be happy to sit down with anybody from any of those companies and discuss why in depth on the show. So...
But if it's 100% mouse,
if it's 100% mouse bought from, you know, I got those treats. I found them at All the Best Pet Care, which is a natural pet food store, smaller local company, doesn't carry anything in the store with byproducts and wheat and all that kind of stuff. Then I know it's good. So that's another reason to support local businesses because the selection is an entirely different range of foods.
And I bet, just to tie this back into the dogs and the dog talk show, I really think that dogs would enjoy those treats as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, wolves eat mice.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay. So just to recap, next week we have on Jane Anderson, chairperson of the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show, which is coming up March 13th and 14th. So excited about that. We're going to have a booth. If you go to the dog show, please come by the booth and say hi. We will be there all weekend. The website is seattlekennelclub.org, and you can find out more about Seattle Kennel Club and the show on that website. As I mentioned, Wiener Fest Northwest is this summer, not until the end of July, but very exciting because the National Wiener Dog Races, the Wiener Nationals, will be at this event. We will definitely be there, and I'm going to have to commit to racing Leia, and we'll have a team Leia. So, you know,
and we all know the Wiener Nationals are kosher, right?
Yes. Leia is very fast, so and well, of course I'll train her so that she learns how to race. But that is very exciting. They're looking for volunteers at this point. They're very early in the stages, but you can look them up at wienerfestnw.org. And that is Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, festnw.org. No, I'm sorry, .com. Wienerfest.com. W-I-E-N-E-R, festnw.com. We've got some great guests coming up over the next few months. We are going to talk to somebody from a local shelter about their pet loss support group that they offer for people who are grieving lost pets, something that certainly hits close to home for me because I lost my very, very dear 12-year-old dog, Chewy, this summer, and I'm still really feeling it. Mostly in my heart, just missing him and still grieving him. And a lot of people don't have a lot of support in their life. And I can't imagine that because even with wonderful support from friends and family, it's still really tough to go through. And I still miss him every day. So we're going to talk about that. That's a great thing. I'm going to hopefully go visit one of those groups and and actually participate and let you guys know how that went. We're going to have Brandy Algren on a show in the near future with City Dog Magazine, which is a local publication, and talk with her about City Dog and what they're up to and her magazine. And Invisible Fence Northwest will be on the show as well in the near future. They've really done a lot with their technology in the past several years. The Invisible Fence are the invisible, like, electric fences that you put to keep your dog in, and they wear an electric collar. Mm-hmm. And their technology is really amazing. I was talking with someone at the Seattle Home Show from Invisible Fence, so look forward to talking with them as well. All of our past shows are archived on the website, www.dogtalkshow.com. If you go to the podcast page, all of our shows will show up. And we are just about a week and a half away from being on iTunes. So that is very exciting. We will be available for download on iTunes, so you can get us on your iPod and go take your dog for a walk. It's a actually very nice day today, a very sunny, a beautiful day to go walk with your dog. So if you can, go do that this afternoon or evening. And we'll be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.